An important part of your body are your feet. And to lose your feet, as has happened with people in accidents or in war, is a great hindrance. And there's just nothing like having the body in a complete working order. And oftentimes we bestow, you might say, abundant care upon, as Paul says, those uncomely parts of our bodies. And you might have hammer toes, you might have nail fungus, you might have bunions. The feet have plenty of problems, and there are plenty of podiatrists to help you with them, but they're important to us. And tonight I'd like to speak about the subject of feet. Not your feet, but being feet. In Psalms 119, verse 105, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, of course, the feet can't see. And so it's talking about the fact that we see because of the lamp, and it reveals to us where our feet ought to go. So you don't have eyes in your feet that can use a lamp. But certainly here, the Bible, God's word, is like a light, and it guides us so that we can walk in the way that we should. It's important, and something that I believe oftentimes is encouraged in the military is to examine your feet, to make sure that you don't have any kind of problem developing that's going to hinder you in being a soldier, such as sores, things like that. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? When we examine ourselves, and that is according to the word of God, we can know if we're walking in the faith. The feet are important, and the feet are mentioned 251 times in the Bible, 174 times in the Old Testament, and 77 in the New Testament. I think that's amazing. Maybe hands might be mentioned more, but the feet are really there in being counted. Sometimes the children sing, "Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go." Because the thing is, of course, where your feet go, that's where you go as well. You can't send your feet to go do something without taking the rest of your body along. They're a vital part of the human body. But tonight we want to discuss a couple points, three in fact. First of all, the perils of the feet. They're right down there against the ground oftentimes, especially if you go barefoot. But also the problems of the feet. And there are a number of problems that can develop. But then again, the possibilities, the blessings of having feet. Well, what about the perils of the feet? You can talk about your problems of your physical feet, but it's the spiritual problems that we really want to consider. And the feet of sinners runs to evil. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 16. Their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. It's not sometimes that people just edge their way into evil. They run. They go with all they've got to get into it. And the Proverbs writer is using the picture of feet running towards something that's evil. Usually we would think, if it's evil, I want to get away from it. But if we're fooled by it, or if we've just given ourselves over to it, we might actually run into it. I believe the emphasis of this passage, though, has to do with our companions. That is, be careful of who you associate with as your, you might say, your close friends, as your companions, of people that you trust, because if they're not living a godly life, their feet may be running into evil, and they may want you to go along. And this is a hard lesson for some people to learn, especially young people at times, is to be careful about your friends, because friends have the most powerful influence over us oftentimes, even sometimes more powerful than parents. That is, to go along with what the crowd is doing. To somehow, that if the crowd is doing it, to use that as an excuse for participating. And it's just a hard lesson that some people don't learn, and sometimes until it's too late. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "The feet of the evil woman go down to death." And here again is the picture, especially of the temptress. Somebody might be tempted to follow in the path that she's going because they're interested in her. But where is she going? The Proverbs writer says she's going on the stairway that goes down to death. Do you want to go that way as well? Because that's where her feet are going. We need to be warned about that. Also, the Lord hates some feet. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, "He hates feet that are swift in running to mischief." There are seven things in that passage that talks about what the Lord hates, and one of them is feet that are swift to running to mischief. Another one, of course, is he that stirs discord among brethren. But when people go toward evil with an earnestness and with a desire like feet that are running, it says God hates that. And of course, it's the heart that devises the wickedness, but it's the feet that carry out the design in going there. Feet, of course, are fast-moving weapons in karate. And again, Romans chapter 3, verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. We think of these as perils that our feet can get into. Getting involved in sin, getting involved in violence. These are all things that are warnings to us. But there are also problems of feet. And again, not the physical feet. If you have foot problems, see your podiatrist. But there are foot problems in the sense of with the Christian, in that we might feel like, I'm not the hand, I'm not the shoulders, I must be the feet. Otherwise, I'm clear as far from the head as I can get. I'm down there at the ground, and everybody else, they've got, you know, better work and better positions than me. I'm just down there at the ground. But Paul talks about feet in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now here is an instance of what's called personification. Sometimes others call it anthropomorphism, that is attributing qualities to something. And here it's as if the foot could talk. Now, maybe sometimes your feet do talk to you, not in words, but in pain. But here the illustration is as if the foot could say, well, I don't have important jobs like the hands do. I don't feed the body. I don't groom it. I'm just there when the person needs to go somewhere. Otherwise, they never give me a thought. And maybe people in the church might feel that way sometimes about themselves. I'm not really all that important. I'm not really that connected with the body. But he asks the question, just because that might think that, is it true? Is it therefore not of the body? Then he uses another part of the body, and it's about the eye. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So here's the eye. Oh, we love our vision. To be able to see, what a wonderful thing. But if the eye can see, but it can't get what it's looking at, because the hands won't work, you can look all day long. You know, if you were looking at food, but you couldn't move your hands, all you could do would be look. And likewise, you know, the head, you know, can't say to the feet, I don't need you, because the head, that's where we do our thinking. And the head thinks, I'd like to go over there. But the feet says, I'm not going. So the head won't go. You see, every part of the body depends on the other parts and the proper functioning of it. And so though we might think, well, I'm not all that important, everybody's important. When we're absent from the body, when we neglect the assembly, there's something missing in the body. And the body doesn't function as well as it should. So this shows that the relationships that we have with one another are of crucial importance. And no one on the one hand should count themselves as superior, but no one on the other hand should think of themselves as inferior or unimportant. We realize that when it comes to feet, that without feet, the body's crippled, and it's very difficult to get around. The Hebrews writer, in writing to those people who obviously had some Well, there was some negligence. In verse 14 of chapter 12, he says, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." But he says in verse 13, "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." So it appears that there's already a problem with the feet somehow. There's a lameness. But he says, you need to make a path that is straight and that's level and able to walk, because if you don't, things can get worse. And we know that when it comes to certain problems, that if we don't give them attention, they do get worse. For instance, if you develop a abscess on the bottom of your foot and you don't have something done about it, it's not necessarily going to just go away, but it may get worse. And likewise, when it comes to spiritual problems, especially with sin, if we don't deal with sin early, it's going to work like an abscess. It's going to spread its influence and maybe affect the whole foot or the whole leg. So the problems that can develop with feet are important. And with the Hebrews and the Hebrews writer, they were having trouble being faithful. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" They were experiencing persecution. They had not grown as they should have. And Paul is using several sort of illustrations to help them realize that you are part of the body of Christ, and you need to work to maintain the spiritual health of the entire body, and that begins with you. They need to go on. They need to proceed on and walk with confidence the path of the consecrated Christian life. Now, what about the possibilities of the feet? Well, what good can they do? Well, again, feet were used by Jesus as a demonstration of humility and service. There was a time when they had gathered for the Passover meal, right before Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, I believe, and Jesus laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself and a basin of water, and went about and washed the disciples' feet. He poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Here he wasn't instituting a item of worship, but rather demonstrating humility, because what had they been doing? They had been arguing among themselves which one of them should be greatest. And so here is the master, and he washes their feet. And the lesson, of course, was, if I have washed your feet, being the master, you should also wash one another's feet. Again, this is not an institution of worship, but rather showing that no Christian is above humble service. That anything that needs done, if we can do it, we should be willing to be about it. It's also mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10, concerning the widow indeed, that qualifications are well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Here's a whole list of benevolent actions, and one of them is washing feet. Why did people wash feet in the New Testament? Because they lived in an arid region, and they wore sandals. If you were going somewhere, you might take a bath and be clean. But if you had a couple blocks to walk in those streets, by the time you got there, your feet would be covered with gritty dust and sand. And it was the custom of those people that when you came to somebody's house, that they would provide at least the water and a towel, if not a servant, to wash your feet so that as you stayed in the house, your feet would be clean. And, of course, their house would be cleaner as well. It was an Eastern custom to wash feet as an example of hospitality. So Jesus isn't telling us to wash feet in our assembly. Those folks that do that don't do it because they just wash one foot, from what I've heard. But feet can be beautiful. When you look at a well-formed foot, you think, boy, isn't that nice? But that person doesn't have to worry about, you know, somebody looking at their feet and comparing it to something else. They can be beautiful. But the New Testament and the Old Testament talks about beautiful feet. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So preachers have beautiful feet. But then again, everybody who conveys the message of salvation is included here. You don't have to have to be a preacher to have beautiful feet. Because the idea is, again, the feet represent the one who is doing it. In Acts chapter 5, after Ananias had dropped dead for lying to the Holy Spirit, 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira came in. And Peter asked her concerning the sale of the land. Did you sell the land for so much? And of course, he knew the details. And she said, yes, for so much. And he said to her, how is it that you have conspired together to lie to the Holy Spirit? The feet of them that have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Now, it wasn't just the feet of the men who carried Ananias out that were there. Their whole bodies were there, but the idiom of the Hebrew idiom is to represent the people by their feet. Their feet were at the door, and they were coming in. So feet are often used in the New Testament, and feet work best in shoes. That's just been my experience. When I was a little boy on the farm, my parents would try to get me to go barefoot. And we had hay at times, and we'd be out there in the field because it was my job to carry a quart of water over to my dad or my grandfather. And I'd be crippling over there, you know, stepping on that stubble of the hay, and it would just be so painful. And they would say, just run. Well, I tried that too. And that worked fine until I really hit a sharp piece of stubble, and I wanted shoes. Well, feet work best in shoes. And you know yourself that at stores you see no shirt, no shoes, no service. There are various employment jobs. You have to have special footwear. Sometimes you might have to have steel-toed shoes. Sometimes you have to have thick-soled shoes if you work in a place like a steel mill. Sometimes you have to have shoes that are impervious to chemicals and oils and things like that. All kinds of special preparations are made to protect the feet so that the rest of the body can do its job. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." He says you need to have your gospel shoes on. Otherwise, you need to have your whole life protected by the gospel, not just your feet, but all of you. Of course, there's the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation, but he mentions the feet. Here's one of those mentions of the feet in the New Testament. Have your gospel shoes on. You know, again, a soldier's footwear is important, and we need to be ready to go with the gospel. Feet are important in the functioning of the body. There are dangers that needs to be aware of that we need so to protect our feet. And sometimes they can develop problems. And we know that sometimes sin can become a problem. But if we head it off and repent of it, we can overcome that through the blood of Christ. But the church needs feet to go forward. Just don't think, well, because I'm, you know, not that all important. Everyone's important. Even those people who are feet. This evening, I hope that we appreciate more the place that feet have in the in the church. And we want to be feet because, again, the church isn't going to go anywhere unless it's got feet to walk on. So this evening, if you've never obeyed the gospel, God's plan for you is to believe in Christ. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, be buried with him in baptism. And as a Christian, if you've been unfaithful, return in repentance and prayer. Our song is for your encouragement as we stand and as we sing.